everybody. It's PodQuest episode 149.
This is too many episodes. We're over.
We're not. It's Wednesday, June 28th, 2017.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's June 28th.
Did I just say June 27th?
No, you said June 28th. Okay. I was saying, oh, my God.
Okay. No, honestly, like, I just drew a complete blank after I spoke. Anyway, I'm Chris, and that's Walnuts, and it's just the two of us tonight.
Yeah, Loki's here, too.
Oh, well, Loki's, I like
her. Yeah, she's getting on the couch right now. She's adorable.
She's a sweet dog.
She is. She's a sweetheart. She's my girl. Yes, her name is Loki. Yes.
But, I mean, to be fair, she's what, like 10, 11, like that? Maybe older?
She's 12, maybe 13 this year. I got to find her her paperwork from the vet the other day.
Wow, I didn't remember.
I'm not sure.
Oh, that's right. Sorry to bring up bad things, but Frankie
was a year younger than her, which I always thought was the other way around. I always thought that Frankie was older. But Frankie's age was more estimated than Loki's is. We found Loki as a pup in Camden, whereas Frankie like had so many different owners that they kind of had to just guess his age.
Yeah, I mean, they did the same thing with my parents' one dog, and he is definitely older than their original guesstimate.
Yeah.
Like by probably like quite a few.
Yeah.
Like I think they were like maybe 3 or 4 years off on his age. Because if I remember correctly, when they got him from the shelter, he was listed as like 6 or 7. So he'd be like 9 or 10 now. But he's probably closer to like 12-ish, maybe 11 or 12.
How can he be that far off your? I guess if the vet's not a good vet.
I mean, plus, I mean, like they basically judge by like teeth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he's he appears to have been pretty well taken care of for the most part.
Yeah.
So like he just wasn't in rough shape, but like at this point, like we're pretty sure he's deaf or at least very close to it, and his eyes are starting to go too.
Yeah.
But he's generally just kind of like he's old and curmudgeon-y. Like but like every once in a while, like I mean, Loki gets like that too. Like I've seen her, like you know, every once in a while she'll get that like spurt of energy and she'll dance like a puppy again.
Oh, she does that every morning.
Yeah, and I mean that's how my parents' dog gets every once in a while. Like every so often, I'll bring Kaylee over and he'll come out in the yard and he'll be like real excited and he'll run around a little bit, and then like not even 3 minutes later he's like done and he's just like laying in the grass. Like all right, I'm good, back off.
Loki, I'm pretty sure Loki killed a bird yesterday.
Good for her.
I don't know how. I let her out when I first got home, started making her dinner, and I hear kunk, and then I see her go behind the thing, come out and go to a different spot on the deck, and she's just down like with her mouth down and looking and sniffing. It's like I knock on the door and she looks around, she looks at me, she's all happy, then she looks back at the thing. I let her in and I look, and there's a bird with like a gash in its leg.
Damn.
Deck that I think she was like trying to lick. She might not have killed it on purpose. She might have been trying to lick it back to life because she's such a sweetheart. And I think she just farted.
Probably.
Jerk.
Let's get the show started with a little bit of news.
Yeah, news. News is good.
So first thing I have, it's that time of the month again.
Oh boy, your Aunt Flo is visiting.
Let's try and be a little classier with our dirty humor. Come on now.
You said it first. It's that time of the month.
I guess I did pause in a bit. PlayStation. I was just drawing a blank. PlayStation and Xbox have what's going to PS Plus subscriber for games with.
Yeah, and I'm so glad I never got the game that's coming out for the PS Plus.
Yep. Well, in that case, I'm going to start with Xbox.
Go
so,
for it.
For July 2017, the free games with gold are Grow Up from July 1st to the 31st on Xbox One, and Runbow from July 16th to August 15th also on the Xbox One.
What the hell is...
I've never heard of Runbow. Like, no fucking clue, dude. Honestly, like, the Xbox One game they release, like, aren't great. Like, I don't think I've ever played a single one put out for free.
Yeah.
The Xbox 360, on the other hand, like they're going into their catalog of 360 backwards compatible games, and like there's usually at least one good one a month. In this case, Xbox 360, we're getting Kanan Lynch 2 from July 1st to the 15th, and Lego Pirates of the Caribbean from July 16th to the 31st, which I completely fucking forgot there was a Lego Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Like, it's that, and what was the other one that I always forget fucking happened? Lord of the Rings. Those are the two where, like, never touched them, never really had, like, an interest to go to them, so I always just sort of forget they fucking...
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. I can understand that.
Now on to PlayStation.
PlayStation's good.
So let's start with the PS3, since that's what everyone wants to know.
Not really, but sure.
So if you're a PS Plus subscriber and you still have a PS3 in use, you're going to get Tokyo Jungle and Darkstalkers Resurrection.
I don't know what either of those are.
I think Darkstalkers is a fighting game. Now I'm going to get confused with Darksiders.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking it up just to make sure that I'm not fucking wrong. Yep, Darkstalkers is the fighting game. So Darkstalkers Resurrection is a fighting game. Tokyo Jungle, I think open world, and I think it involves animals, and I know that sounds like a fucking douchey way to say that based on the name, but I want to say Far Cry in Tokyo, but just animal, but I'm probably wrong.
It's weird.
I'm looking that up too.
Nah, you don't need to. Obviously, it's not that good if it was only on PS3.
Okay, so Tokyo Jungle is a survival action game. So kind of Far Cry.
Okay.
The game takes place in a deserted, futuristic Tokyo in which the city has transformed into a vicious wildlife.
Okay.
So actually, I think I maybe once, like a long time ago. Like,
yeah.
Well, like 2012 when this game came out. But I remember a lot of people liked it. I remember it being kind of popular. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. If you have a Vita, you know where your charger is for it. Which really, it's just a mini USB. You probably have 30 of them. You can charge that thing up, and you can play Don't Die, Mr. Robot, or So, it's elemental, is what the word is. But instead of the A at the end, it's a 4.
That's silly.
Yeah. But those are the Vita games. Also have never heard of those.
Neither have I.
It's right up there with Runbo.
Yeah.
And then the big stuff is PS4 owners are getting Game of Thrones, which I'm assuming is the not Telltale game of...
Probably, because it would have said Telltale.
Yeah. That's You, which I'm not familiar with, and, like, the best game that PS Plus has had in a long time, Until Dawn.
Yeah.
That is one of the few games where, like, I sat, like... I mean, it's easy to do, in one run, but it's one of the few things that I've sat down and actually just done in one... I played for 6.5 hours, 6 hours, something like that. I think the whole video of it is up on our YouTube.
Wow.
YouTube.com/OneQuestVideo.
You need a life.
I did that. I want to say I did it on like New Year's Day or something like that.
Yeah.
Like it was one of those like day off from work or like a weekend or something. There was nothing going on. It was winter. I remember that much. And I popped it in and I didn't intend to play the whole thing, but like Erica was interested, basically a fucking movie. And I played the whole fucking thing.
So I saw that. I was excited. I was like, sweet. Our old friend David had posted it on Facebook, and I was like, yay.
Yeah, it is really good. It's one of those games that it's a lot of fun to play, and like it's not really hard either. Like people can just keep dying, which is cool. Like you can finish that game with basically everyone alive or everyone dead.
Yeah,
or like anything in the middle. But it's also one of those games that's really fun to watch, like, other people play, just because of, like, different play styles. I wouldn't recommend watching somebody play it before you've played it, but sitting down and, like, watching a video of someone go through it and seeing, like, all the weird shit that they may have done that you did differently or didn't do at all, it's just, it's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait. It's going to be, looks like it'll be a fun game to play.
Well, plus, the developers, whose name is totally fucking escaping me, man, I'm bad at this today.
You're terrible. I mean, I don't even know who the developer is, and I'm not even looking at it. I'm playing a game right now.
What an asshole.
It's only a cell phone game. It's Magikarp Jump. I don't even have to pay attention to it.
Supermassive. Supermassive makes it.
There you go.
I was going to say that. I'm like, no, Supermassive doesn't make that. They make those other games. But I think they're making... they're making that The Inpatient, the PSVR game.
Yeah.
And also Bravo Team, which was that super... just generic shooter they showed off at... Oh, well, you didn't see it at the PlayStation E3.
Yeah.
But The Inpatient is in the same universe as Until Dawn, but it's set in the past of that universe.
Okay.
So I don't want to say too much about it because it might spoil things of the actual game, but...
It's Patient Zero, isn't it?
Well, do you know anything about Until Dawn?
Not really. I just know it's zombies, if I remember correctly.
I'm not going to tell you one way or another. I will say the game takes a lot of fucking weird twists. So,
yeah.
Like, it's one thing, and then maybe it's something else, and then you're not sure if it was that first thing. Like, it's... They did a really good job creating that world in the story and keeping you kind of like on the edge the whole time. Because even after things get revealed, you're still not sure if that's actually what happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, The Inpatient takes place in like a mental institute. And I want to say it's like it looked like the 50s in the trailer. There wasn't a whole lot to the trailer.
Okay.
But it's PSVR, so it should be cool.
Interesting.
And again, it's in that universe, so.
Yeah, just expand in that universe and fans of it will probably love it or hate it. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to checking it out. So I guess next up is Docket. There's actually quite a bit of stuff. SNES Classic is a thing.
Oh yeah, I forgot that was a thing. And now I remember that's a thing.
Yeah, so it's been
a long week for me.
Me too. Like I told you a little while ago. We got a new bed today. Very spontaneously, actually. Like 2 days ago, I was on Amazon. I'm like, I'm gonna buy a new bed, and I fucking bought a new bed.
Nice,
because you can buy anything on Amazon these days.
Yeah, Amazon's the best.
But we've got one of those Lisa beds, like that just gets shipped to you in a fucking box. It's really fucking weird.
Oh, like the ghost beds.
Yeah, no, it's the coolest fucking thing though. Like this thing's all rolled up and flat and everything, and then as soon as you tear a hole in the plastic, once it's like just unfolded, it actually feels like like a vacuum. Well, I mean, it is a vacuum. Like, a vacuum's getting released. Like, if you hold your hand over it, you feel all this air rushing out of the bag. Or into the bag, I guess, as the mattress actually, like, expands, decompresses.
Yeah.
Like, it was really cool to watch. But the bed frame was a pain in the ass to put together.
Such a nerd, dude.
What?
It was so cool to watch the thing expand and... I'm just kidding. I'm playing.
It was cool.
You're a nerd.
Learn to like science, you fucking douche.
I love science.
But yeah, so SNES Classic is a thing.
Yeah, the SNES Classic. That's pretty sweet. Like I didn't look at the list of games, but I know Star Fox 2 is in there, and Star Fox 2 was like never released or something.
Yeah, so Star Fox 2 was never released, but the ROM did get dumped on the internet forever ago.
Yeah.
So it has been out there, but if I remember correctly, the ROM was like an unfinished ROM. So I don't know if they went back and actually like finished the game.
Yeah.
Or at least maybe like polished it up a little. But yeah, so the SNES Classic is going to have 21 games on. It's going to be $80 and it's going to release September 20th.
Yeah.
The NES Classic had 30 games, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And was a little cheaper.
Yeah, but SNES games are bigger, so it takes a little bit more to store them and whatnot.
All right. Let's be realistic here. All the games still fit on a fucking, like...
Yeah.
8 gig flash or SD card, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And even if they didn't, like, honestly, not that those systems had SD cards, but, you know, it was just built into the board. Flash memory is super fucking... Those boards probably could have easily had, like, 128 gig storage on them and not even used a fraction of it for the 30 NES games. They could have easily put 30 SNES.
Yeah.
Even if they only did Nintendo-owned and published titles.
Yeah.
So the actual list of games for it is actually pretty good. So like you said, Star Fox 2 is on there. But apparently, Star Fox 2 is only going to be playable after you've beat the first level of Star Fox 1.
Yeah, which, I mean...
It's kind of neat, actually.
Yeah, kind of makes sense.
And then the rest of the games for America... And Europe. Japan has a slightly different set of games.
That's lame.
But they also get the cool-looking Famicom, and the UK gets their super version of the Nintendo, which both of them look better than what we got.
Yeah, our Super Nintendo is lame.
Because both of them have the cool fucking controller buttons. We get fucking purple and gray.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Contra 3, Donkey Kong Country, Earthbound, Final Fantasy 3, which is actually Final Fantasy 6. Like, it's that 3.
Okay.
Or I'm assuming that's the way it is, because that's what was released for Nintendo in America. F-Zero, Kirby Superstar, Kirby's The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, Mega Man X, Secret of Mana, Star Fox, Star Fox 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Fighting, Super Castlevania 4, Super Ghouls and Super Mario Kart, Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars, Super Mario World, Super Metroid, Super Punch-Out, and Yoshi's Island.
It's too many supers.
I mean, that was the thing. Like,
I know.
That's Nintendo's fucking thing.
I know. I'm just kidding. Come on, take the joke and laugh at it.
It wasn't funny.
I don't know. I disagree on that. I mean, thought it was good.
I do agree with you, though. It is a lot of supers. It's just, it's funny that that's always been kind of Nintendo's, that's been sort of their thing. You know, it was the Super, and then it was the whatever, 64. I guess, yeah. GameCube didn't have one.
No, GameCube didn't really have one, but, and they pretty much stopped it since.
No, I mean, there were a lot of Wii and Wii U things, too.
Yeah, true.
Not as many as there were for, like, the Super and N64 eras, but there were, you know, the like, New Super Mario Bros. Wii and New Super Mario Bros. Wii U, Wii Sports, and Wii Play.
The only one I'm, like, really legitimately shocked that they didn't do it for was for Smash Bros., because they only released one per system. It's like, why didn't you just do Smash Bros. And the Smash Bros. GameCube, Smash Bros. Wii, Smash Bros. Wii U?
Well, I mean, at the time of Melee... Because Melee was GameCube, right? I always get Melee and Brawl swapped.
Yes.
So, I mean, at the time of Melee, that was only the second one they'd ever done. And, again, like, they had never started doing the whole game sort of naming.
Yeah.
So, like, it would make sense that they would give it a name, and then by the time we came around, it's like, all right, well, we're going to do another one. Let's just give it another silly fighting game name. I mean, Mario Kart's the same way. It was Super Mario Kart, Mario Kart 64, and then it went Double Dash, and then Wii, and then 7, 8, 8 Deluxe.
Yeah.
So, they don't particularly get cool names either.
No, not really.
But, and then, so as far as the Japanese console goes, it didn't really have anything that, like, I would particularly want to play over what we had. But, like, it had something else in place of, like, Earthbound. It's Final Fantasy. It's actually Final Fantasy VI, not Final Fantasy III.
Okay, so then it is going to be Final Fantasy VI.
I just think it'd be fucking hilarious if they gave us Final Fantasy III on this and everyone boots it up thinking they're going to get to play, like, as What's-Her-Face with the Espers and shit.
Terra and...
There you go, Terra. And then it was just that fucking shit show that was Final Fantasy III.
Final Fantasy III, well, I mean, I played the DS version. I don't think I ever actually beat it. Final Fantasy III wasn't that bad.
2 and 3 are the only two Final Fantasies that I've never actually been able to get into at all. Like, I've started both of them, and I've just kind of been turned off pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That said, like, I've never actually finished 1, 5, or 6 either.
I mean, the only ones I've ever finished were 9, 10, not 11, 9,
yeah,
10.
You finished a fucking MMO, right.
Well, that's why I said not 11. What was it? 9, 10, 13... Technically, I guess you could say 14 and 15.
Yeah, I've done 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't... I'm actually... I have 12 ordered on Amazon. I'm going to give that a shot.
Okay.
And I mean, I guess I'd be 14, 1 and...
I would argue no.
So, I mean, do the raids actually carry story?
No, but they added so much story content before Heavensward.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I beat it to the original ending, not to, like, expansion.
No, but technically it didn't.
But I went as far as the game as I could in a game that was released.
Yes, but if you still have that initial game, if you were to boot it up right now, there's still more to it.
But see, that would be like saying right now you didn't beat 15 because you haven't gone back and done the Gladio, Prompto, and eventual Ignis.
No, it's different. It's different because I have to pay for those. What is available for 14 is free for you. All you have to do is boot the game up and download the patches.
And I'd have to pay $15.
Well, you'd have to pay to play for the subscription fee, yeah, but...
So it's not free.
Technically, I mean, because it's a game that you pay monthly for anyway, technically it is free.
Listen, let's just agree to disagree. Let's not argue about Final Fantasy 14 again this week.
Welcome, just playing devil's advocate a bit.
Actually, speaking of, I know I mentioned this before, and it is actually a news item I picked out. That Final Fantasy 14 documentary I was telling you about started releasing last Friday.
Yeah, I completely forgot you told me about it.
All three parts are out now.
Okay.
It's on NoClip Video. It's just youtube.com/NoClip.
Yeah.
I'm double checking just to make sure. But yeah, it's Danny O'Dwyer from GameSpot. It's not just NoClip. That's a YouTube.
Okay.
Let's try this again. Probably NoClip Video. There we go. Yep. YouTube.com/NoClip Video. It's three parts. I think the first part was like almost an hour, but the second two were right around a half hour each.
Okay.
It's subtitled because most of the people are speaking in Japanese. There's only a few people speak English. But it's got like Yoshida, like the main guy behind A Realm Reborn.
Yeah.
The current CEO of Square Enix is in it, who I think was just like... I want to say he was like CFO or COO or something like that at the time, between like 1.0 and 2.0.
Yeah.
And then some other people that like community managers, like localization people, stuff like that. But it's really cool because like part one is people kind of telling their story, and then how like just Final Fantasy 14 came to be and the problems they ran into with it and all that stuff, leading up to the point where they realized that they had to make a change. And then the second part is them basically deciding what they needed to do to make the change and leading up to that, those final moments of the game.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't realize that like it was a huge in-game deal for them too. And that it went offline for as long as it did.
Yeah, it did. They took the game down.
Yeah, the servers were down for like 6 months before A Realm Reborn released. And it,
yeah, because A Realm Reborn is technically its own game.
Yeah, like they rebuilt the entire game. And that like that's what this documentary goes into. And the third part just came out today and I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Okay.
But considering you are as into that game as you are, and I know you didn't play the 1.0, right?
No, I didn't. I didn't get into it. I heard it was garbage, so I never even...
So definitely worth watching then, because it'll kind of give you like a new perspective and a new appreciation for the game.
Yeah.
So, like as I'm watching, I was actually watching, I'm just like, man, I almost kind of want to go back and play again now. Just like after seeing all this, because like they go into how they sort of led up to like destroying the world, where they kept releasing patches to like improve player experience, like while they were building a new game too. So they were literally working on two games at once.
Yeah.
But like during one patch, they added the thing, the moon or whatever it was in the sky, and they had it just a red dot like way out in the night sky, and like every so often they'd release a patch and they'd have it get closer and closer, and like, people started noticing that it was getting bigger, and then like the game ended with it crashing to the world or whatever actually happened.
It was Bahamut. He broke free and attacked.
But yes,
that, you remember the beginning of the game
vaguely. I mean, that was almost three years ago.
Well, no, the beginning sequence, like the loading cutscenes.
That's what I mean. Like, I only vaguely remember them because it was so long ago.
It was like one of the main trailers for it, I think. But
I remember it, but I don't remember like a lot of detail about it. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you have time, I mean, they're free on YouTube, so I mean, you can sit there and watch them on your couch, on your television.
I might watch them tonight after we're done this.
Yeah, they're really cool. I'll send you a link to it too, just so it's easier for you to cast from your phone.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. So that was a news item too, actually.
Cool. Thanks for thinking of me and giving me some news.
Yeah, no problem. I'm gonna skip this next one because it's just fucking stupid and I don't want to give it attention.
I kind of need to know what it is now.
Apparently, glasses free 3D is within reach for the Avatar movies.
Interesting.
So. I didn't read the full article. That's why I kind of want to skip it too. What I feel this means is James Cameron is going to delay these movies another 7 years till this is possible.
I wouldn't be surprised. James Cameron's an insane man.
But so let's move on to this one. This one's kind of sad, and I hope it doesn't happen like this. Michelle Rodriguez might not do the next Fast and the Furious movie if women don't get like, I don't want to say treated better, but don't get, I guess, more prominent depiction.
Like more prominent roles?
Not so much roles. Cause, I mean, you figure like Letty generally is a pretty prominent character, and like Giselle has been in the past. Mia was.
Yeah.
So it's not so much that like they are always there, but especially in the last few movies, it has very much been like a Rock and Vin Diesel show with a little Paul Walker thrown in like 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
And then everybody else for the most part kind of takes a back seat. And then, like, in 8, it was very much like it was a Rock and Vin Diesel show. Which, I mean, the movie was great. I loved it. But, like, you know, it sucks that they killed Elena just for no good fucking reason.
I didn't get to see it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you did.
No, I never got around to seeing it. It's fine. I'll probably forget when I do get to go see it.
But, yeah, so, like, they kill women, like, that aren't big characters, but, you know, that were there just for no good fucking reason. And, like, while Michelle Rodriguez, she was in it, she was prominent in it, she didn't get to do a whole lot. And for a driving movie, like, I think I said this after I watched it, like, they're all going against Vin Diesel. Like, you know that. Like, Dom's, like, the quote-unquote bad guy.
Yeah.
With Paul Walker no longer able to be in, Michelle Rodriguez is the next person, like, I mean, I guess she's technically the closer person to Dom than, I can't think of his name. No, than Brian was.
Yeah.
Like Dom and Brian had the bromance, but, like, Letty and Dom were fucking together, so... But she's also the next best driver on the team.
Yeah.
And they didn't even give her that role, really.
That's silly.
Like, she was a good driver on the team, but, like, they never had her be the one that was, like, the closest to taking Dom down as far as, like, driving stunt, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So, like, I get
it. Makes sense.
But at the same time, like, I feel like, A, that's a big enough payday that she'll probably still do it. And, like, Vin Diesel has enough, like, creative control over these movies, and he seems to care about them to, like, a weird place, that I feel like he would kind of, like, push that in the direction if it meant keeping, like, the cast that he wants there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll see. This one's a better news. Did you hear about the Batman stuff?
What Batman stuff?
So, Batman director Matt Reeves, who directed the current Planet of the Apes trilogy, too.
Yeah.
He revealed that the Batman, if that's still what it's going to be called, Ben Affleck will still be Batman in it, because there was a little speculation that maybe he wouldn't be after he, like, stepped down from, like, the whole directing. But he revealed that it's going to be a noir-driven detective.
Okay.
So less Nolan, just kind of like action, I guess it would be the best way to put it, and more like Batman actually being a fucking detective.
Yeah, more like Batman should be, and not Batman just beating people. Batman's a smart man who uses technology and his intelligence to take out the bad guys by figuring out who they are.
I mean, there is a reason why the Batman's original book was Detective Comics.
That's why DC is DC, because they started with Detective Comics.
I don't think that's actually true.
Shut up. Just let it go, okay?
But yeah, so, like, we already saw in Batman v Superman, like, Ben Affleck can do the action stuff. Like, he can kick ass as Batman. It'll be awesome to see him be, like, a more traditional detective Batman also.
Yeah, it'll be pretty sweet. Maybe have, like, a dark or an Arkham Games feel where it's, like, all the villains are out at once and he's just got to figure out a way to stop them all without causing too much damage to the city and whatnot. And not super action-y, but I don't know. Who knows what'll happen?
Yeah, like, it's got to have a little bit of action just because, like Batman is also a master, like, fighter. So
yeah,
you kind of have to have both parts of it, but it'll still be nice to see him be more of a detective.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, have you seen the trailer for The Foreigner?
Oh my god, yes, I forgot about that. I saw it the other day. Jackie Chan is the new Liam Neeson.
Basically, only he goes in a different direction.
He becomes the bad guy.
We don't know that he is actually a bad guy.
The trailers depict him as, like, he's like, tell me who you, I know you know who killed my daughter, tell me who so I can go kill them, and they're like, we don't know. So then he becomes a terrorist himself to get the information to go fight the terrorists.
So, to be fair, the idea I got from the trailer is he spent a very long time going to this person's office every day trying to find out who did it.
Well, yeah. And they won't give him any information, becomes a terrorist.
They claim they don't know.
Yeah.
But so he does not outright, in the trailer anyway, it's led me to believe that he does not outright do anything violent to them. He's just kind of proving a point that he can get at them.
No, he blows up the office, or he sets off a bomb in the office.
Yeah, at one point, but we don't know how, like, at what point that is, but they literally, in the trailer, say at one point he's just proving he can get to you.
Yeah.
So, like, but, like, obviously, like, it escalates, and, like, it's also got Pierce Brosnan in it.
I gotta say, and I really don't know for sure, Pierce Brosnan isn't actually Scottish, is he?
Yeah, he is.
He is Scottish?
I am 90%. He's either Scottish or Irish. He's not British.
Because that's him using a Scottish accent in that movie, and I don't like it. I was about to say it's a bad Scottish accent, but if that's his accent, I'm sorry, Pierce Brosnan. I don't like your normal accent.
He's Irish, I'm sorry.
He's Irish. And he's using a Scottish accent, I believe.
Maybe. I didn't pick up on while I was watching it. But I was also watching it on my phone, and I could hear it, but, like, I wasn't picking up, like, that well.
Oh, listen to it again. You might be able to hear it this time.
So, cool. One other cool thing about this is that it's directed by Martin Campbell, who also directed GoldenEye and Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Two of the best Bond films in the last 20-ish years.
Yeah.
27 years. 22 years. Sorry. That was really bad fucking math.
Come on, get better at math, Cobb.
But yeah, this movie looks fucking awesome.
It does. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait to see it. Front row center.
It's been a long time since, like, I can remember, like, being, like, pumped for a Jackie Chan movie.
It's been a really long time since there was a Jackie Chan movie.
Well, he's been in a bunch of stuff, but, like, nothing like this. And it's different, too, because he got very famous, especially in the U.S., for doing kind of those action comedy movies. Like your Rush Hours, your Shanghai Noon, Shanghai Nights.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're making a third one of those, too.
Really?
Yeah, that like, as recently as 2016, there was an update for it. I think it's called, like, Shanghai Dawn, which makes sense. Night, Dawn.
Yeah.
But it's going to take place in China instead, because the first one was the Wild West, the second one was England, the third one's China, which is basically fucking Rush Hour in the 1800s, because first one L.A., second one China, third one I think was London, or had bits of it were in London.
Okay.
Because I know, I think by the end of the movie they ended up back in L.A., but I'm pretty sure part of three they were in.
In Rush Hour, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was L.A., China, and then France.
France, okay. So Europe, say.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I'm super excited for this. It opens in October, so we have a little while to wait, but should.
Yeah, when I saw it, I was like, I'll be there first night, or as close to it as I can. I'm seeing that movie. I love those ridiculous action flicks, like Taken and this movie, and it's going to be so great.
I agree. So I got two things left. So this irks me. It shouldn't, but it does. So the Xbox One X is going to download the patches based on the system, which I realize makes sense in a way. So if you have an Xbox One X, it will download the 4K patches. If you have the S, it'll just download like the 1080 patches for games.
Yeah.
So here's my problem. If somebody's buying an Xbox for the first time and they just decide, you know, might as well get the X, it's going to be more powerful, games will play smoother on it, even if they don't look better, because they don't have a 4K television, they're still going to have to download the 4K patches. Did you by chance hear how big the patch is going to be for Forza?
No.
100 gigs.
Jesus Christ.
So your terabyte system, on top of the base game install, which let's assume let's just call it 50 gigs, which is probably, it's probably too low for the base install anyway.
Yeah.
So right off the bat, your terabyte system, when you have Forza, is going to be at least 150 gigs worth of data installed on your thing. So that's, if you buy the game digitally, you have to download 150 gigs. If you buy it physically, you have to install it and download 100 gigs. If you have Comcast, your data cap is only a terabyte. So which I realize, like, your system's also only a terabyte. But if you watch Netflix and you also download all your games digitally, and a bunch of your games have fucking 4K patches, you're potentially fucked.
Yeah, that's... Wow. That's 100 gigs?
Yep. 100 gig patch for Forza. Which, I realize, like, every game probably isn't going to have a 100 gig patch. Based on that. Like, driving games are generally, like, they're higher res assets and everything like that. So, I mean, there's a reason driving games are what they show off when they want to show that how nice a game looks. So, like, I'm sure your average patch is probably going to be 60, 70, I would assume. But that's still, you know, that's a lot of extra data you're having to download for 4K. Especially if you don't have a 4K television, which I realize, like, if you're buying a 1X with that kind of money, you should probably have the TV to support it. But not everybody cares about, like, 4K versus 1080. They might just want a game that runs smoother.
Yeah.
Like, if the 1X is going to support games at 60, at like a solid 1080 60 that the S can't do for whatever reason, like, people will buy an X just for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, there should really be an option to pick which patch you want to download. Like, I realize it gets technical at that point, and maybe, yeah, have it default to whatever your system is. But for the people that want to go in there and tweak stuff, like, let them go in there and fucking tweak stuff. Like, let them say, I'd rather download the 1080 patches. Like, prompt me, ask me whether I want the 4K or 1080.
Yeah.
Like, the people that know what they're doing will pick what they need. The people that don't are just going to pick what's recommended. Like, it's not that hard to throw a fucking little dialogue up there and say, do you want the 4K or the 1080? And just have, in parentheses, 4K recommended for 4K televisions.
Yeah.
Like, it's
that is silly. Like, they should give you the option. And,
like, and believe me, like, I do very much understand that it's probably not as easy as just throwing a fucking dialogue up when you're downloading it. Like, there is probably some sort of weird architecture reason why, like, giving people a choice isn't the easiest thing to do. but for the amount of money people are spending for the X, like, they should have the choice, especially when it could negatively impact their, like, internet, like, depending on what else they do on it.
Yeah.
Or just how many games they play. Like, there are some people that buy, like, every fucking game, and I realize at that point it's like, well, fuck them. Like, they should get better internet if they can afford every game. But that's not always an option either. Like, it's not like I can pay Comcast to have a higher data cap.
Yeah, no.
Plus, fuck, I mean, at least Xbox has good download speeds, like, compared to PlayStation. Like, if I had to download a 100 gig fucking patch on PlayStation, I would just give the fuck up. I wouldn't play that game this month. I would wait till it downloaded next month.
Yeah. That's insane. 100 gig download.
Again, that is for a very, very pretty driving game. So,
yeah.
But still, yeah, 100 gigs if you want to play Forza on your Xbox One X.
Wow.
On top of the normal download or install, depending on a digital or physical person.
That's pretty obnoxious.
Just a little. Last bit of news. And this one seems to get flip-flopped a little bit. The Spider-Man spin-offs that they've announced, the Tom Hardy Venom, and then the Silver and Black, the Silver Sable, Black Cat movies.
Yeah.
They are going to be separate from the MCU.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing now.
So Tom Holland is part of the MCU, and apparently Spider-Man, like the second Spider-Man solo film, is actually going to be the movie that kicks off Phase 4 after the two Avengers movies.
Yeah.
He will apparently not be part of the standalone movies, because they're not going to be part of the same universe, so it would just be confusing if, you know, Spider-Man from the Avengers is popping up in the standalone movies, but Venom and stuff can't be in the Avengers.
Sony just needs to be like, here you go, guys, just do what you want.
Apparently part of this is also on Marvel, Disney. Because I guess, I apologize if I'm getting her name wrong, I want to say it's Amy Pascal, is like one of the people, like she's one of the main producers for like the Sony movies, if I remember correctly, like the Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah.
She made a comment about it being part of the MCU, but then Kevin Feige, or I always say his name wrong, if I am, sorry, came out and confirmed that it is not, and then she came back and said, yeah, I was wrong, sorry, they are not part of the MCU. But, because that, I don't know if you remember from a couple weeks ago, there was that whole like sad Kevin thing going around, kind of like the sad Ben Affleck thing.
No.
So it was a thing, and it was because he was in the interview when she said that it was part of the MCU.
Okay.
And he just had that look of, come on, stop making my fucking job complicated.
Yeah.
But he also went on the record to say, like, yeah, right now they're not going to say they'll never be. He's like, I'm also not going to say that Superman will never be.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
Like, at least he's a good executive where, like, he's not putting definites out there. He's just like, anything's possible.
Yeah, exactly.
But Pascal actually, in the last thing I've read, kind of compared it to, like, the X-Men stuff. Like, the X-Men are Marvel characters. They're part of the Marvel universe. They're just not part of the Marvel cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Also, if you haven't seen it yet, there's a new clip scene trailer thing for Spider-Man Homecoming. Looks fucking awesome.
Nope. Movie comes out next week.
So there's absolutely no story in it. It's just action, and it looks really fucking cool.
I don't care. Movie comes out next week. I should have stopped watching trailers 3 weeks ago.
There's also, did you see the Aldi commercial?
No.
So there's an Aldi commercial with Tom Holland.
Okay.
Where he's taking his driving test.
Wow.
And he's got Tony lent him a car. And it's like the newest Aldi. So yeah. He says
Aldi.
Sorry, I'm calling it the fucking supermarket chain, aren't I?
Yeah, when you first said Aldi, I was like, they did a supermarket? Like, that's the smallest, most ghetto supermarket chain I've ever seen, and they were able to get Tom Holland? Come on now.
Yeah, sorry. So can you say it again? Because now I can't fucking get them straight in my head.
Aldi. And Aldi, Aldi, is the supermarket.
Yeah.
Aldi is the car.
But
come on, son.
Dude, it's been a long fucking day, man.
I know.
Anyway, yeah, so in the commercial, he's taking his driving test. He walks outside with the guy, and the guy's like, that's a fancy car for a 16-year-old. He's like, yeah, my friend Tony lent it to me. but then, like, they're doing the thing, and they're basically just showing off this car. Like, they call it a prototype, but it's really just the newest model of whatever their, like, main line is. So it's got all, like, the fancy, like, you know, self-driving and – not self-drive, self-parking and shit like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was funny because at one point, like, he parallel parks with just that. Like, he just takes his hands off the wheel and lets the car parallel park itself.
You know, that's true, though, now that I think about it. kids don't need to parallel park anymore.
They still need to pass it on the test because not every car has the I'm going to parallel and park for.
Right now, but give it 5-10 years, every car on the road or every car that kids are driving, kids that are learning to drive now are going to drive, are going to have the self parking.
That is probably true. That is probably true. But yeah, it he does that, and then the guy starts lecturing. And in the time that he's lecturing, he gets out of the car and stops two bank robbers as Spider-Man and then gets back in the car. It's actually really funny.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I would watch that commercial because the commercial is actually – it's a little long, but it's really funny. And it obviously gives nothing away for them.
I like the one that they did for the NBA playoffs.
That was a good one too. But that was the news, unless you have anything.
Well, there was kind of two things. One is very minor. Nyko is releasing an attachable grip to the Joy-Cons to where it makes it more ergonomic. It folds out and it gives you like little handles so that you can hold the grip sideways more comfortably.
Okay.
It's $10, I believe, $9.99. It looks pretty neat. I don't know how it's going to attach or anything, but they also have like a portable docking station as well. Nyko's are always been pretty good with their third party stuff.
Yeah. I'm waiting for Nintendo to release some more colors for the Joy-Cons.
Oh yeah, that'll happen real soon, I'm sure. Well, by the end of the year, I'm sure.
If they could just release some green ones, I would buy them in a fucking minute.
Green?
Yeah.
What do you mean, me? Liking green?
Green's been my favorite color since I was like a child.
Green's been my favorite color since I was a child.
I'm older than you.
I don't care. I'm more of a child.
This is true. I will not fucking disagree with you there.
And the other news thing is, and this has been approved by both Tom Holland and somebody else, probably Kevin Feige.
Oh, I did see that. I know what you're going to say.
In Iron Man 2, when the robots are attacking the World Expo, the little kid in the Iron Man costume that Iron Man comes and saves is Peter Parker.
Which is 100% just retcon. Like, it was not originally supposed to be Peter Parker because they didn't have the fucking rights then.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of cool that they're just like, hey, yeah, this kid happened. Because it's probably one of those things, like, somebody said it on, like, a message board somewhere. Somebody at Sony saw it. Or, at Sony or Marvel saw it. And they're just like, yeah, you know what? That can be canon now. Why the fuck not? Like,
it's canon, and the great thing is that movie came out, what, 10 years ago?
2010.
The ages line up with
what age he should be. Because I guess he's supposed to be 16 or 17.
Yeah.
And that kid, whatever age that kid was, like, the time difference between now and then, like, it should be a 16 or 17 year old.
Yeah. So I saw that. I was like, that's pretty sweet. I sent it over to Eric. And
also, the other thing that they mentioned in that is, at least in one of the articles, that the Stark Expo they're having is happening in.
Is it in Queens?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
That's why it works even better, because it's happening where...
Yeah, I thought... Yeah, no, he does live in Queens.
Yep.
I'm trying to see if there's any more...
Because if you remember, when he meets Captain America, he's like, I'm from Queens, and Steve's like, I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I remember that now. I think that's it. I think that's the only two things I had. It was really silly, but cool things. I don't often get the news, so...
I know, I do.
Yeah. You do the hard work.
It's not even hard. Like, literally today, I was at my client in the little closet I have to sit in, sitting on two boxes of paper, just scrolling through IGN and GameSpot and shit. I just copy the fucking links into a Google Doc.
Yeah.
Like, 9 out of 10, like, what I read to you is just the fucking, the URL.
Yeah.
Because I generally read the article, at least, like, skim it, like, before I even, like, save it, just to make sure, like, it's something half worthwhile. And then the URLs for a lot of the sites just have, like, the basic information in it already, so I can just read that off. And I'll put little notes in there if I think to, you know.
Yeah.
Keep it fun.
I'm looking through my news feeds to see if there's anything else.
Oh, shit. I completely forgot to mention this about the Super NES Classic. They are only planning to produce them from, or to sell them from September 29th when it releases to the end of the year.
Yeah.
So... They claim there will be better quantities than with the NES Classic, but it's still only, what is that, a 4-month period of them selling them?
Yeah, NES Classic didn't sell a lot.
3 months.
Or one, it sold a lot, but didn't have a lot of units.
Exactly. And now, you know, you can only find, like, used ones on eBay for $200 or $300.
Yeah, which I do want it, but yeah, it's just too expensive.
Yeah, it's not worth that money for something that you can just emulate.
Yeah.
Like, not that you should emulate, but still. Like, I think all those games are also probably available on the Virtual Console if you still have a Wii U.
Yeah.
So, there's that also. But what's your week been like?
What's my week been like? My week has been, it's been a week. I've been busy again, like always, because I always am.
Maybe you should stop being so busy.
I can't help it. I had to help a friend move on Saturday.
Oh shit, that was this week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, that was last week.
Well, it was a Saturday that just passed, because last week was Firefly.
Wait, was this past weekend too many games?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's only been 3 days, Cobb.
Oh, man. Okay, in all fairness, I just realized why I'm so messed up.
Why is that?
We bumped into each other in the supermarket.
Yeah.
And talked about too many games.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm literally in my head, it's like, we've already talked about too many games.
Nope, we didn't. You still have to talk about that at some point.
Oh, yeah. All right. Go ahead.
But yeah, so my week's just been a normal week. Not a lot of game playing happening because of busyness, but I did get to play Pokemon Go. Actually released their gym update the day after we talked about it last week. And the gyms are pretty cool now. Before it was, if you had a level 10 gym, you could have up to 10 Pokemon in there. And you could just end up fighting a wall of Blissey's, which Blissey is the most powerful Pokemon in the game because it has high defense, low offense, and high health to where it could take you more than the allotted amount of time to kill that Pokemon, where people just wouldn't fight it. So you would run into a gym with more than 3 Blissey's and you would just give up because it would just take too much time.
Oh, that sucks.
So now with the gym update, no more than 6 Pokemon in the gym. No more than one of that type of Pokemon, so only one Blissey at a time. So now people are making like theme-type gyms. Like I saw one gym was all the Eeveelutions because there's only 6 Eevees right now. There's Eevee and the 5 Evolutions. So there was one gym that was all the Eeveelutions, and people are just going more themed and maybe taking it a little bit more strategic than just throwing in a Blissey. Because you know what? If you have 10 Blisseys and you have a fighting type, you could take them all out pretty quickly. The raids are pretty sweet. You log into the game, and I wonder if there's any raids nearby while I'm talking. You log into the game, and if there's a raid starting up, it'll notify you with a colored egg on top of the raid. It'll say there's a raid nearby, and you find that raid. It'll give you a timer anywhere, but it's 2 hours or less. So if there's a raid starting in 2 hours, it'll let you know there's a raid going to be here in 2 hours. Once a raid starts, you go over to the raid, you gather your raid token, and you can then participate in the raid, which can be up to 20 people. You jump into the raid and you click to start the raid, and people will just start loading in. And once the 20 people join in, you go and you fight the Pokemon. Based on how many people of your color are with you, plus how much damage you do, you'll get a rating, and then after that, you get a chance based on your rating. So you could get like a rating of 10. That gives you 10 premier balls to catch the Pokemon that you fought in the raid.
Which is pretty, you know, I'm glad that they're trying to do some stuff with it.
Yeah.
I guess it was actually after we saw each other in the grocery store. I did install it just to see if like, aesthetically things changed, and things did, like the gyms look different now. I don't know if that was in this update or if it's been a while since they did.
Yeah, that was in this update.
But like I was really just curious to see kind of what the thing's like now, and I think like what they did to the gyms when you click on them is cool. It shows you the 5 Pokemon like kind of like standing around like all cool and shit, and it shows you what their
CP is and what their morale level is at.
That's what I was happiness, trying to remember what
whatever
it
is.
Yeah, no, it is morale. It shows you like that, which is kind of nice.
Because that's the other cool thing. I can't really remember if we touched on it too much, but instead of it being that once the gym's prestige level goes down too far, your Pokemon leaves the gym and is like knocked out. It's now every Pokemon has a morale level. So if I were to have a Pokemon in a gym that's doing really well, I could get that Pokemon could be in that gym for a day. But if I don't go back to that gym and feed my Pokemon some berries, he will leave the gym because his morale will be too low.
And I mean, it does just rejoin your your group, so yeah, you don't lose it.
Yeah, he goes back to your gym. He goes back to your group. You might have to just revive him. But it's a good way because there were gyms where people weren't doing anything. Like, no one would be able to join the gym because the players are too strong. It's all Blissey's. They would have the gym for 3 weeks, and it would kind of be cheap thing because it's like, well, there's no point in me even trying with this gym. Now that Pokemon players have to keep going back every day to keep feeding their Pokemon, it's going to make gyms a little bit more interactive, a little bit more exciting to jump into and to try. Yeah.
Plus, apparently the morale goes down after a fight. So
yeah, if they lose, their morale goes down more than if they win.
Well, so what I was going to say is that you even now have the ability that, if it is, a gym full of Blissey's, you could, and depending on how many Pokemon you have and how many items you have, you could potentially go in and, just slowly whittle them down, too.
Yeah, that's how it was in the original. It's, if it's a prestige of 10, you could slowly whittle down each Pokemon to get to a certain point. But eventually, if you can't defeat the first Pokemon, you're not going to take down its prestige.
So, oh, I mean, definitely. But it was just more of a, because like you said, Blissey is just happens to be a pain in the ass because it's got such high defense.
Yeah.
So, if let's say the first two are Blissey, but everything else, you could theoretically maybe go up against that Blissey two or three times, get its morale down, and then go from there.
Yeah, it's just you're going to be whittling it down more, but the thing that sucks is, yes, less players can be in a gym, so there's going to be a higher battling for the gyms, but there's a more turnover rate because you have to go to the gym at least every day.
Yeah.
And your reward base is better too. That's I think I read it should be one coin per hour. But I got 15 coins for having a gym for about 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
So maybe it's 5 coins per hour. I'm not sure. You no longer have to collect daily. You get the coins once your Pokemon leaves the gym.
Oh, that's nice.
Whereas before, if you put a Pokemon in the gym, you collected your coins for the day. That's it. You're done. But if you were to take over 3 gyms, but you already collected once, you can't collect the other 2 gyms. Now it's if you put a Pokemon in a gym, he's in there for 3 hours, you get however many coins for that time. Once he gets kicked out.
Okay.
So I got a free 15 coins, which was pretty nice. So it brings you more into it to keep an eye on these things, because before they weren't all that interesting. I still did them, but mostly as a troll. I would put in my Dittos and my Wobbuffets and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, at least they're kind of doing this sort of... I'm trying to think of the right way to word it. And I'm drawing a blank on the first word I want to use.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know you don't. Sorry. They're improving something that was kind of broken to begin with. And, it's still not great. It's still not something I necessarily want to play. But... It's nice that they're looking at it, they're seeing what works, what doesn't work, and they're making changes,
yeah.
Implementing new things. Yeah, they're not quite implementing exactly what the people want, but at least they're on kind of the right path.
It's a step in the right direction. It's going to be a long time, if ever, for them to actually have real Pokemon battles and not just the same tapping that they have. But I don't think they're ever going to do the whole real combat system in that.
No, I mean, the game's not set up for that. They'd literally have to build out a new, the game would fundamentally change. But even just, the ability to trade and stuff like that, and...
Well, they've promised those by the end of the summer, I think I've read.
No, the last thing that they said was, they're still working on it, they just don't have a time frame for it yet.
Okay. I mean, they're working on them, though. They will have them done. It's, they're trying to refresh the game as much as possible to keep players playing for when they do incorporate trading and breeding and stuff like that. It will, it'll be more beneficial for the players.
Yeah. So, did you play anything else, or?
I didn't really play anything else, but I have been preparing my... DM campaign for my group that hasn't met in 2 months.
Oh, wow.
For Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, it's funny because Eric's Eric's getting upset we didn't really get to play in June, but we're going to play twice in July. But he's like, he's kind of bummed out because we didn't get to play in June. I looked at him and was like, Eric, I have three campaigns and I didn't get to play in June. It just happens. Three campaigns. One of them is supposed to meet every 2 weeks. We didn't play at all in June. Another one we haven't played in 2 months because somebody had a baby and we want to give them time. And then our campaign with Eric and Drew, and that we just never got around to being able to set up a time
to play. And these things happen.
Yeah, it happens. But yeah, so it's been 2 months since I gotten a DM. So I've been having that itch and I've been setting up my campaign. I sat down for about 3 hours yesterday, scripting out and writing things and planning stuff yesterday. I think I told you guys in the past what my reference material is. It's the Infinity Stones. And I've been talking with Eric to figure out like different things about them, how like what they could each do. So I think one person in my group does listen. I'm not too sure, but I'm going to say it. So Sean, if you do listen, just ignore this. Some of the stuff I'm kind of renaming each of the stones because like for the times, like one, like the reality gem, for instance, it's going to have the power to change alter reality, but at the cost of the sanity of the user, because no one's going to know you changed reality except for you. So you're going to go insane because everyone's going to deny what you changed, that you changed it. So, for instance, if you get rid of the big bad boss, everyone's going to be like, well, there was never an issue, so you're not the hero. And it's just going to cause you to go insane and stuff. So instead of me calling that the reality gem, I'm calling it the sanity gem. And the lore for it is those who have used it have gone mad saying that they altered the reality of the world.
Okay.
And for the space gem, it's going to be the gem of the stars instead of space. Everything else is essentially staying the same, but I have so many plans. Like the space gem is going to give them the ability to travel, like to teleport essentially, and they can teleport the group. But depending on how far they teleport, it's going to cost a toll onto their body, cause them exhaustion. And every time they use the gem, it's going to increase a chance that the gem will teleport them somewhere else that they weren't even trying to go to, and they cannot leave those lands until they solve the problem that is in those lands. It's the TARDIS.
Huh.
That's what I decided to do with that.
That's
so like
good job.
So like the way I'm gonna do it is there's a 5% chance the first time they use it. Once they use it, it's gonna go to maybe a 10% chance, and then a 15%, and so on and so forth. And because I'm kind of using like the TARDIS aspect of it, I might even, instead of having the time gem being green, have it be, well, no, the space gem has to be blue. Damn it. Because I was going to try and have it like glow a TARDIS blue, because I do have a Whovian that plays with us who would just freak out if she found that out. But where the space gem is going to be, I'm going to have a lot of Doctor Who references with it. And if they get teleported off land, it's going to be a Doctor Who mod that I'm going to generate where they have to fight Cybermen, or I might even create a Dalek enemy for them to have to fight, or something ridiculous. Like, I think it would be so fun because it's fun to just bring in pop culture references in this. So I've been developing things like that, but I have scripted out what I'm going to tell them. Because what happened in our campaign is they took 2 months off. One person went to go study, like an NPC went to go study about the stones. And then everyone else just like went their separate ways, trained and whatnot. And they're all meeting back up after the 2 months. And he's going to have a lot to tell them. But it's one person's going to be so mad because one of the rewards from the last session was they wanted a statue built of them. And they had a side quest back then to go destroy orcs, and with the orcs was an ogre. Well, they never actually went and fought those orcs, so those orcs are still around. Those orcs are going to attack the town and destroy the statue.
Huh.
And then I'm going to tell him that if he wants a new statue, he has to pay for it himself in gold.
Well, that seems a little rude. Give him a break. He's your friend.
No. He's the one who was like so adamant about this fake statue. But yeah, it's really fun being developing a world. I actually tomorrow might go out and get some poster board and like draw out a map of the area of the land.
Oh man, now you're turning into a super nerd,
dude. Like, yeah, I know you're not in it, but if it's like, this is where I get creative. I get creative when it comes to storytelling and things like this. This is what I like to do. I like to, like, tell stories and create worlds and stuff. So it's like, this is my, like, everyone else can draw or play an instrument, which I can't really. I should start practicing more. I can come up with things. I mean, now I'm not really coming up with it off the top of my head because I'm using a reference of something. I came up with the reference because one of my players was a big Marvel fan who is actually no longer playing with us, but I kept going along with that idea because I never put in the time to come up with something else.
Okay.
But I could just switch it all up if I wanted to. But at this point I have so much prepared. Like, I have a whole backstory about, like, the Titan itself and why the stones have come up to play, and what it is the Titan was too strong, so mages developed a spell to siphon his power. The Titan, which is supposed to be Thanos, obviously, when he found out he was becoming too weak, used one last ditch effort and let out a huge, like, magical explosion, which ended up destroying or killing the wizards or the mages and a warrior that was there fighting the Titan while they were siphoning his power. And turned turned the warrior into the gauntlet, and turned the power that the mages and the mages themselves into the stones. And then the Titan himself just became a little stupid goblin who just couldn't remember anything but could live forever. And so he was like centuries old, but he did not remember how old he was or that he was centuries old. And so the way they unleashed the Titan is they ran into that goblin who was being tortured, and he decided, I'm going to follow you guys and be your servants. And so they go into, like, the last dungeon, and he's like, I'm going to follow you guys because I'm scared. And once they got to the gauntlet, he reached up and gained his power back from the gauntlet, or at least some of his power back from the gauntlet.
And you're playing this weekend with them?
Playing Friday.
Friday.
Yeah, so
that's my birthday.
It is your birthday, isn't it? Is it your birthday?
Yeah, June 30th.
I forgot you were a June birthday.
Same day every year.
No, it's different. It's not the same day.
Yeah, I think Anthony and I are like a week apart.
You are, but it's not the same day, because your birthday is a Friday this year. Next year, it's a Saturday.
Same date, then.
Okay, there you go. That's better.
Actually, that might work out. If it's a Saturday next year, that means I'll probably have a choice whether I want it to be... that still won't work. So this year, it ended up working out, like... Last year was perfect, because my birthday was on Thursday.
Yeah.
And I took off Friday.
Yeah.
So I was off Thursday, Friday, and then Monday was 4th of July.
Okay.
So I only had to use one PTO day, and I got 5 days off in a row.
Yeah.
This year... Because, like, I had that, like, week and a half off in May, I didn't want to take another day off so soon, because I have some more to use later on in the, so I'm off, but we get off for our birthdays at my company. I think I've said that before. Like, that's just, that's a holiday, basically, that they give us.
Yeah.
So I'm off on Friday, off Saturday, Sunday, obviously, have to work on Monday, and then I'm off Tuesday.
Just take off Monday.
I actually have work, so I can't.
Oh, that's dumb.
Yeah. I mean, it's not hard work. I'll be home. So, I mean, it's not that bad, but it still just sucks. And it was one of those, like, I have enough PTO days, but I don't want to burn them all out and then need something later and not be able to take it.
Oh, I'm running low on PTO days because of the two vacations, because of Firefly and the Outer Banks and my stupid doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
I'm running low on PTO days right now. I'm like, shit, man.
Well,
I'm going to be at like 6 after the Outer Banks. I've never, like, been that low.
Yeah, I've got like 3 days I have to take off in August at least for like concerts and such.
Yeah.
And then I have New York Comic Con in August, or in August, in October. There's PAX Unplugged in November. And I feel like there's at least 1 or 2 days I need to take off in September also.
Yeah.
So it's just trying not to just randomly use days just because I've taken off more than I normally do this early in the year.
Yeah.
But... Anything else that you've had going on, or really just Pokemon Go and preparing for D&D?
I did watch that latest episode of Doctor Who.
Okay, I'm actually 2 episodes behind.
What? What?
Yeah.
Dude, come on now.
So we...
Like, oh my god.
We've been watching Orange is the New Black. So I normally watch Doctor Who on Saturday. Like, I usually watch the previous week's episode the following Saturday. But the last two Saturdays, we've actually we were binging through Orange Is the New Black.
Well, you should hurry up and watch Doctor Who because I think it's done next week.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna if I can't watch anything this like tomorrow afternoon, I'll probably watch both of them Friday while I'm just home doing nothing.
Dude, it was like so. Last week's can't remember 2 weeks ago, but this week's that just passed, the Saturdays, was like mind blowing. Like, insane.
Yeah, I haven't seen any spoilers, but I have seen people saying that, like, this previous episode was really good. So I'm looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, it was, like, holy crap, man.
Normally I work, I mean, you know, like, I work from home a decent amount.
Yeah.
This week, I've actually, like, because I'm off on Friday and some other stuff has come up, like, work-related stuff, I haven't actually been home with, like, the open time to, like, be able to actually, like, pay attention to TV. So I haven't been putting shows like that on.
Yeah.
Like, I've watched, like, stupids. Like, I watch, like, YouTube video, like, quick look on Giant Bomb. Like, things that, if I space out for a little while, it's not a big, like, I'm not missing, like, story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't spoil any. I'll kill you.
Dude, it was, like, it's, like, so crazy. Like, and the, like, the way they did the episode, I just, oh, my God. The episode was so good this past week. Like, the way they did it, trying to, like, I want to say, like, they did, like time jumps, kind of, and they did flashbacks and things like that. And
well, I mean, it is a show about time travel.
Well, no, like, they do a thing, and then they flash back to the Doctor and Bell talking about a thing, and then they go back, and then at one point, like, the group gets separated, and, like, I can't really say much else because it might. I mean, it's not really spoilery what I would say.
Well, I don't know if it was this past episode or not, but I know John Sim reprised his role as the Master.
Yeah, he's in that. But it's like at one point, when they get separated, they're kind of in two different time zones. But time is flowing faster for one of them than it is for another.
So almost like that episode where Amy got stuck on that like planet where there were like two different timelines, like
next to each other, where they could watch the mirror and see how old she gets and stuff.
Yeah,
and watch her live her life or something like that. Yeah, like they kind of did that, and so at one point it was like. The one group, they were only out for like 10 minutes, but the other group, it's been like a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like, and how they did that back and forth was just so good.
Well, we can talk more about it along with the finale, hopefully next week, if you get a chance to watch that this weekend.
Oh, my weekend is kind of pretty free now for the first time in a while, so I might actually get some gaming done and stuff.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. So we'll definitely be able to talk about it next week, unless Eric joins, and I don't think he's caught up at all.
Probably.
He wanted to wait until it was all done and then watch it all in one.
Yeah, that's kind of how they do it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if that's all you got, since you reminded me about too many games, my week just got a little more packed. Jesus.
Well, we'll do less.
Well, I guess some of my stuff actually ties into too many games too, which is cool. So I'll start with games. I played a little bit of Wolfenstein: The New Order.
Okay.
Which is the first Wolfenstein that they released, that Machine Games released. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to where the game takes its fucking weird-ass turn yet, I don't believe. Because I know like the first like couple of hours are just pretty straightforward, and that's what this has been. There's been some weird, crazy stuff, but nothing that it's not what I expected yet. And I'm pretty sure I'm getting to the point where I'm getting closer to where it takes that weird ass turn. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But it's a fun game. I like it. Plus you can, I forgot that I'm pretty sure this is a game where you can literally just dual wield any two guns.
Yeah, I think so.
So like when I realized I did it by accident, I hit like up on the D-pad and I pulled out like this, like a second of, machine gun that I had.
Nice.
And I'm just like, oh, this is a fucking thing. Awesome.
Yeah.
Because if I remember correctly, it's that you can, at one point, you have two shotguns. You can just run around fucking dual-wielding shotgun, which is kind of fucking awesome.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. But yeah, so I played a little bit of that. I like it. I'm definitely going to play some more. But like I said, like my birthday is Friday, so Erica got me some things. She actually got me the microphone that I'm using now and two others, which hopefully the sound's all right when I actually get to the recording. They're fancy fucking microphones. They got like those shock mount things so you can move a little bit and it absorbs a little bit of the noise.
Okay.
But like it looks like an actual like professional like studio microphone, not like the ones that we normally use.
Yeah.
And you basically have to have a mixer for because they don't power themselves the way like the other ones do.
Yeah.
So like luckily the mixer that we use has like the phantom power thing built into it. It took me about 45 minutes to figure out how to get it to because there's like a button on the mixer that you have to turn on to turn the power on so that it sends power to the microphone.
Okay.
Besides that, she also got me a couple games. Are you familiar with the Nonary game series?
The what?
Nonary games.
No.
It's a Zero Time Dilemma and Zero something else. Zero Escape, I think, is like the prefix on both of those games.
Okay.
Not ringing any bells?
No, not at all.
Right. So it's three games. The first game was on the original DS, came out in like 2009. It was just called 999. And then the other two, I think, were 3DS and Vita games. So she got me the first one and the third one, actually, because I had them on Amazon wishlists. And she didn't know that there were a series of games either, so she just grabbed two of them. So I'll grab the middle one at some point before I start playing the third. But they're those, like, they're a mixture of escape room and, like, a graphic novel or visual novel, whatever, like, games are called like that. So think like Phoenix Wright kind of,
mm-hmm.
but fucking weird. So I only got to play a little bit of it so far, but the character you play, you wake up on a fucking ship in the middle of the ocean, locked okay. in a room. You have no fucking idea how you got there. You don't know anything. But you have this thing strapped to your wrist that you can't get off that has the number 5 on. The door to this room has a big 5 written on. And there's, like, this, like, thing on the wall that you obviously need, like, a key card or something like that to swipe to unlock the door.
Okay.
And then as you're in the room, the fucking window breaks and water starts pouring. So, like, the room is literally, like, filling with... Now, again, it's, like, one of those visual novel games, so, like, this isn't actually animated, really. It's, like, a lot of text and reading. But once you get to, the like, the escape room parts, you interact with the room by, like, tapping on solving puzzles.
Yeah.
So, like, the first puzzle in this was you find, like, these two pieces of paper, and then you find a picture, and when you finally get the picture open so that you can look at the back of it, it's got, like, a legend on how to decipher the two pieces of paper you found so that you know what codes to use to unlock the, like, a suitcase.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool, and apparently there are – the reason the game's called 999 is there's 9 people, there's 9 something else, and you have, like, 9 hours to finish the game. I don't think mm-hmm. the game is necessarily timed in 9 hours, but, like, that's, like, the scenario that's, like, set up in the game. Like, everyone on the ship dies if you don't figure a way out in 9 hours.
Okay.
And apparently it's just weird Japanese to try in it. I know that they're not, like, super popular people that play on.
Sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, this one's a little old, and, like, it looks a little older, especially since it's running on, it's a DS game, not even a 3DS game.
Yeah.
The most recent one, I guess, though, the other one, Zero Time Dilemma. That's a Vita game from last year.
Okay.
So it was like 2009, 2012, 2016. And
okay.
I think they even actually released like collections of all three games on the Vita and on the PS4. But yeah, so there's that. I'm looking forward to playing some more of that probably, you know, tomorrow, Friday, weekend, some stuff to do. And then the other game I played is actually something that I first played at Too Many Games. It's Mighty Gunvolt Burst.
Oh, no, that's right. You were telling me about that the other day when you thought we were recording a podcast, but we were actually just food shopping.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, full disclosure, this is an Innie Creates game, and we are friends with one of the guys that works there.
Yes.
We've known him for over a decade.
Yeah.
It's the Mega Man game that, like, Mighty No. 9 should have been.
Yeah.
That's, like, the best way I can think to put it. And, like, Papa actually described... At Too Many Games, Innie Creates had three games kind of, like, on display that were playable. They had Blaster Master Zero, which is already out. And then they had this Mighty Gunvolt Burst. And they also had their new Azure Striker Gunvolt that comes out in August.
Yeah.
And the way that Papa, like, kind of pitched them to me was Mighty Gunvolt Burst is more traditional Mega Man. And Azure Striker Gunvolt is more Mega Man X.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So, I've, like, seen that. Gunvolt Burst, or Mighty Gunvolt Burst is you can either play as Beck, who is Mighty Number 9, or Gunvolt from Gunvolt. And, you know, it's more like Nintendo-y style. I've been playing as Beck so far. It doesn't have the, like, there's no dashing or anything like that. There's no charge shot. It's very much like the same, like, platforming level design as, like, a little Mega Man game would. But it's very customizable as far as, like, your attack goes. So, like, right out off the bat, you can change your shot. So you can do, like, a fire, an electric, a water, like, a drill, like, all different types of shots. And you can control, like, how fast they go, if whether they curve after you shoot them, whether, you know, there's a spread in, like, more than one shot, how big that spread is, how fast it goes, how many can be on screen at one time, like, all sorts of different things that you can go through and sort of just customize the way it works. Doesn't seem that it's not as... I'm trying to think of where to put this. It's not one of those things where, like, you know, the water weapon does a huge deal of damage against, like, the fire boss.
Yeah.
But each boss, when you finish them, you can get, like, an ability from them that you can then add to a weapon. So it's like you beat the fire boss and you get, like, a heat-based thing that you can add to your weapon that, like, increases heat damage or something like that.
Okay.
And then you're kind of most things are unlocked. There's a few bits that aren't unlock that, like, I can't make, like, there's a few faster levels of fire that I can't do yet, but you're basically just restrained by how much customization points you have, like, literally, like, it's called CP. Yeah. So, like, every sort of thing that you do costs something. So if you want to make your shot bigger, the small shot, you know, doesn't cost anything. The medium one, say, costs 200, and then the big one costs 500. So okay. You know, 500 CP just to have, like, a bigger shot might not be worth it if you only have, like, 1,500, like, total.
Okay.
So you kind of, like, work around that way. But yeah, like, I beat two bosses. I'm literally on the third boss. I'm just doing them in, like, order as they come. So I don't know if there is actually a right order to do it the way, like, Mega Man games always had, where if you fight one boss before another, that boss becomes a little easier. But they do the very nice gesture of not just fucking you over if you die too many times. So, were you ever really into Mega Man games? Or are they just kind of a thing you're familiar with?
I like the Mega Man games. I've played them all of them. I think so. I think I'd beat all but Mega Man 5.
All 10 of them?
Well, all but Mega Man 5, 9, and 10.
That's still impressive.
Yeah, because I had them for the GameCube.
Oh, you had the collection, the anniversary collection.
Yeah, and so that was 1 through 5, 6?
I think that was all 8. I think that was 1 through 8.
Maybe it was 1 through 8.
Because that was all that was available at the time, because 9 and 10 didn't come out till late 2000s. But you know how, you have your three lives in Mega Man, and, you know, maybe you get a few one-ups throughout the course of the stage. You get to the boss, you die three times, you run out of lives, you have to start the whole stage over again.
Yeah.
This actually just lets you keep going.
Okay, so there's no, like, life limit.
So it's just the more times you die, the lower your score is, so the less CP you get.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's great, because, like, the first boss I fought, because I was still kind of learning, like, the mechanics of the game, took me 24 tries.
You suck.
Well, I hadn't done any customization yet. So it was one of those... Well, I'm sorry, the first, like, boss you get to choose from. The first boss, the first boss of the game, super easy. But it was the fire guy, so it was, you know, learning his pattern for the very first time and sort of getting used to how does Beck jump. Because, you know, when you play the Mega Man games for, like, the first time, you always have to get used to, like, all right, so, like, here's how fast he moves, here's how high he jumps, here's, you know, like the little intricacies, so you know sort of when do you have to move, how long can you wait, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It was that mixed with, like, I was also trying to learn the boss's pattern. And at least so far, the fire boss seemed to change up his pattern the most, because it was one of those, like, he had his set stuff for the first half, and then once he got on the half health, he started adding new things. The other boss I beat didn't do, like, I don't know if I just took the second boss out quicker, but, like, it took me, like, 3 tries, and it was done.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like, so I'm enjoying it a lot so far. And I mean, to go back to too many games for a little while, I know you didn't get to go this year, and we talked a little bit about it on Sunday. It was cool. I had a good time. I was there a lot longer than I was last year. I think I only stuck around for maybe like 2 hours last year just because I went on Sunday. There wasn't a lot going on. It was pretty slow. Saturday is definitely the better day to be there because there is just a lot going on. The downside is it was basically impossible to play games in the arcade room.
When I went last year on Saturday, it's just so packed. I couldn't get into any games I wanted to try. I think I at one point just sat down and played my DS until I met up with Anthony and all them.
Yeah, that's kind of how it was. Luckily, like I already mentioned, like Papa and Jess were both there. So I ended up when I first got there, I went over and I talked to them for probably like an hour. Between him talking to people that were coming up to the booth. Their booth did really well, which was they always had kind of a crowd around them. And then I went to the Innie Creates panel also. The Hunters were also there. I bumped into them, said hello.
Oh, nice.
Exchanged pleasantries.
Nice.
And then, for the rest of the time, I just spent a lot of time walking around looking at games that were being sold, telling myself not to buy things because everything was too expensive.
Yeah.
Because it was one of those, I almost bought, somebody was selling the collector's edition of Persona 5, the Take Your Heart edition thing, but they were selling it for $175. And I'm looking at that, and I actually looked up on Amazon. I'm like, it's going for $150. And I'm just I could probably convince this guy to sell it to me for $140 if I've really tried. But it's not worth that kind of effort. It's also not worth that kind of money. I will gladly spend, the $60 on the game, but nothing about that collector's edition is worth $120. And there were some other, I saw some good deals. I told you, I saw the Sega Genesis Jurassic Park for $7.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still playing your goddamn game?
No, I'm sorry. I'm listening. I'm just, somebody had texted me and I'm paying attention. Sorry.
That's all right. Other games that I didn't realize were rare are fucking crazy expensive. I was telling you before, the Chip and Dale 2 for the NES was $300. Non-boxed copies of Mega Man 2 priced at $60 and $70. I'm that's fucking outrageous. I own that game 4 different times. I'm not paying $70 for a fucking cartridge of it. You're out of your goddamn mind.
No. That's why I don't buy things there. It's too expensive. Some of these vendors are insane.
Yeah, it's a shame because people do have cool stuff, but it's one of those I know I can also go on eBay and find deals on this stuff too if people selling it. That it's an eBay thing. So if I go in there and just happen to get the lowest bid, I'm set. I can set how much I'm willing to spend and just hope somebody doesn't outbid me.
Yeah,
it's not a matter of just this is marked at 70, so I'm probably only going to be able to maybe get you down $20. And at that point, I'm not paying $50 for a 30-year-old game.
No, it makes complete sense. It's just way too expensive. That's way too much for a 30-year-old game that you might play once.
Well, it's not even that. At this point, there are certain games I would like to own just to own them.
Yeah.
It's stuff that either I owned when I was younger but don't have anymore, or things that, I used to rent or borrow from friends that I never actually owned myself, but that I would like to actually own. But then there's just those are things that I don't need because I have the entire set of Mega Man games 4 different fucking times, or at least most of them. Because you figure I have the Legacy Collection for DS. I have that Anniversary Collection on GameCube. I even have the Mega Man X Collection on PS2. I've purchased some of those games on Virtual Console. I don't need to own that cartridge for $70. I'm happy. If it was $20, even 30, 30 is probably my cutoff. Anything more than 30 for a Nintendo, Super Nintendo game, probably not spending it. Unless it's one of those things where it's this game is crazy rare and it's sealed in box and it's under $100, which probably never gonna fucking happen. But regardless, it's just cool to kind of see that stuff. Cause it's not something that you see in a GameStop. You don't go to GameStop and see these old games on display.
No, yeah.
To walk around there and see these glass cases with these boxed copies of 30, 40, or, yeah, 30 plus year old games, or just games that, weren't readily available in America, Japanese versions of stuff. It's just really fucking cool. It's also neat, I didn't really stop and play any of the indie games that they had in the back just cause it was actually pretty crowded back there. But it's cool that there are a bunch of people back there just with games that they've been making, showing them off.
Yeah.
And like, I stopped and watched a few like games that people were playing, and like some of them actually looked really pretty cool. The downside was, and I think they had this last year, is they have that like weird like YouTuber section.
Not really. I don't think they really had a YouTuber section.
So they did this year, and nothing against the YouTubers. Like, that's not the down part. Is the way that it's set up is, like, I don't know if they just weren't expecting them to have lines, but some of them did get lines, and they didn't really have any sort of, like, crowd control for them. So these lines were just kind of, like, running down the aisle. And it, like, it was kind of a bummer to see that, because, like, you couldn't see past people to see, like, what were at booths and all. You couldn't always tell if, like, when you were walking up to something, whether you were, like, blocking somebody who was looking or just kind of, like, pushing past somebody that's just standing in line. So, I mean, I guess it comes with them not having a ton of, like, space. Like, it's a big room, but it's also pretty crammed, and they do have, like, you mentioned it to me too, they have that one room where it's, or the one half of the room that's fairly open because it's all the board gaming tables that, like, they could probably, like, push into that a little bit and maybe shrink the board gaming section, but, like, that section does seem to get a lot of use.
Yeah.
Not from me, but it does seem to get a lot of use.
Yeah, they have, like, a big space, but, yeah, space management just isn't good. They're starting to get better, but at this point, they might just need to move.
I mean, there are other halls in that convention center that are bigger.
Yeah.
So, like, it might be worthwhile for them to move into the next one up within the next couple of years. Just it'll be that weird transition year where the room might be too big for them, and they'll have to sort of, like, grow into it, but it's better to have a room that's too big and to grow into it than to have it way too crammed and just not fun to be in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to think if there was anything else that really jumped out at me at too many games. Yeah, like I said, I'm not that I have anything against the music, but like I'm not really into the video game music like that. Like the bands and stuff that play video game music. So like I didn't really go to any of the concerts or anything just because like I don't know them, and I was there by myself, so I wasn't going to just go stand in a room of people playing music by myself.
Yeah.
But like the arcade room was cool. They have a few too many rhythm games, but I realize those are the games that people want to play.
Yeah, rhythm games sell. Rhythm games are what get people to come to these things nowadays because they're not really anywhere else.
But like I played, the only game I got to play a little bit of in there was Street Fighter 2, but it was a little broken. The joystick, I think that the cabinet just needed to get rebooted because the joystick was kind of, even when it was upright, the character kept moving to the left. So it was really hard to like pull off moves correctly.
Yeah.
But, otherwise, that sucks. Like they had their usual setup, like a bunch of consoles with stuff, bunch of arcade cabinets. It was a good time. I enjoyed it.
Sounds like it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Would you rate it better than previous years?
Well, last year was the only other time I went.
Okay.
And I definitely had a better time this year than last year. Part of that is probably because I also had some people to, like, talk to and, like, stop and, like, hang out with for a little while. Plus, there was just more going on because it was a Saturday, not a Sunday.
Yeah.
So, like, there were those few times where, like, you know, while looking at stuff, like, people were talking and, like, you know, organically, like, conversations kind of, like, happened between me and, like, groups of other people. Like, at one point, like, I heard somebody talking about, like, the Amiibos, because they had a bunch of Amiibos that were way fucking overpriced.
Of course they did.
Like, and the person was like, I'm pretty sure these are on, like, you can buy the Japanese version of these on Amazon for cheaper. I'm like, no, yeah, you definitely can. Like, the Japanese version are usually cheaper, and they're the same fucking thing except for the package. People are paying three times the price for the American one. They want the American packaging. And, like, the guy was with kind of looked at me. He's like, I take them out of the fucking box so I can use them. I'm like, dude, I'm right there with you. Like, I'm not buying these things as collector's items. They're not. Fucking putting them on Breath of the Wild to see what shit pops out of a chest.
Yeah. Like, I saw somebody trying to get a specific sword in Breath of the Wild. They had to restart their game like 100 times to get it. I can't remember what the sword was. Like a Sword of the Sages or something like that. You can only get it through Amiibo drop.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff like that that you can only get through the Amiibo drop. Like the classic, some of the classic Link outfits you can only get that way, and Epona you can only get that way.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think. Yeah, I mean, it was generally a good time. Obviously, last time I went, like I said, was a Sunday, so parking was much easier. This time, like, I didn't get their doors open. I got there probably between 10:45 and 11, and doors opened at 10. And there was just no parking, like, in a good spot at all. Like, I was pretty far out, closer to the BJ's.
Yeah.
And then at one point, it was like around 1 o'clock, I was getting hungry, so I ran to Wawa to get food. And when I got back, I had to park even further away.
Wow.
Which was a bummer, too, because I actually, like, I had gone back to ask Papa and Jess if they would, like, I didn't know if they had stuff. And Papa's like, yeah, but I have a panel soon, and by the time you got back, I'd have to be on it.
Yeah.
And, I didn't think it would take that long, because the Wawa is away. But I really did not, like, it did not dawn on me. It's like, oh, yeah, it's 6 minutes away, and it's a convention, even though it's not, like, you know, New York Comic Con, Otakon level convention. Like, Wawa's still super fucking packed.
Yeah.
It took, like, I just grabbed, like, one of, like, the pre-made sandwiches they have. But Jess actually ended up asking if I could get her some. All she wanted was, were chicken, like the bowl with chicken strips. Like, no food had to really be prepared. They just had to put the chicken strips in the oven and then put them in a bowl.
Yeah.
It took them, like, close to a half an hour to get to it.
Wow.
Probably like 20 minutes, just because of how many people were there. Like, waiting for food is insane. And have you ever been to the Wawa out near there?
Maybe. I can't remember.
It's, like, literally, like, right down the street from it. But it's one of those, the newer laid-out Wawas where, like, the deli area is, like, in the middle of the store and it's, like, a half circle.
I usually just go to Cheeburger when I'm there. I walk down the street.
I don't even know what that is.
There's a cheeseburger place.
Damn.
That's the place that does the pound cheeseburger.
Oh, I did not know that. I drove down. I literally just opened up like Google Maps and I saw Wawa, so I drove in that direction. And there was like also a Wendy's and a Chipotle right there.
Okay.
But it's one of those newer Wawas where it's like a half circle and it's got like a bunch of stations. So this way, like multiple people can be making at the same time and not have to worry about like, oh, you know, you're in front of the meats. I need to get to the meats. They had all like four of the stations being used, and they were still taking that long to get food out because it was so busy.
That's insane.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, like I said before, we finished Orange is the New Black season 5. Weird fucking season. Happens over the course of just 3 days. And so much shit happens in those 3 days, it's kind of intense.
Yeah.
Because do you watch that show?
What show was it again? I'm sorry.
Orange is the New Black. Pay attention. Put your fucking phone down.
No, I have never watched Orange is the New Black.
All right, well, I mean, this is a little bit of a spoiler for you, but it's not really. Season 4 ends with a prison riot starting.
Okay, yeah.
Like, literally, like, it hasn't actually even started yet. It's basically, like, the prisoners are pissed because of something that happened in, like, the last couple episodes in 4. And
yeah.
Season 5 picks up right from there. And it takes place over 3 days while the prisoners are in charge of the prison. Like,
okay.
They have all the guards and a little bit of staff that were there, like, held hostage, and they are running the fucking, and just all sorts of shit good. And it was good. I enjoyed it. It was fucking darker than it has been, in my opinion. And it ends on a real fucking downer, but I'm looking forward to kind of seeing what they do next year. And then, Preacher came back. Did you watch Preacher last year?
No, I never did watch Preacher.
You fucking failed, man. That is a great show. Literally, the first episode had a cowboy, had a fucking demon cowboy rip a man's tongue out of his mouth.
But I don't know what it is. I didn't try to watch it, and I didn't really try to get into it. I'm sure I could. I haven't tried yet.
If you sat down and watched it, I think it is, it's weird, and sometimes it makes no fucking sense at all. Sometimes it's just fucking gruesome and dark, and you wonder why you're watching it. Other times it's funny as shit. One of the main characters, Cassidy, he's a fucking Irish vampire. He's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Literally, in the last in the second episode, he fucking does a bunch of drugs with an angel. like a bunch of drugs. Like, he's literally sitting there. He's like, we got some heroin, we got some cocaine, we got some this, and we got some distilled water.
So weird.
Yeah, no, it's so, like, he's just the best.
Yeah.
And the way it works is angels can be killed, but they can't die. So, like,
okay.
If the angel gets shot in the head, he drops dead there, but then he literally just, like, pops back, like, in another room.
Yeah.
So, like, there was an episode in the previous season where, like, there was a big angel fight, and this hotel room was literally just littered with, like, dead bodies of these two or three angels.
Okay.
But, like, the three angels were still alive and standing.
All right.
So, like, one of the episodes involves this angel trying to kill himself over and over and over again in just weirder and weirder ways, and he just keeps coming back to life. And he ends up becoming a Vegas star because of
that. That's awesome.
Like, everyone thinks it's just like an illusion or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would definitely, like, I want to say season 1 was short. It might have only been 6 episodes. That's the usual AMC way of doing things.
Yeah.
But even then, like, at most it was like 13 episodes. So, I mean, nothing too crazy to get into, especially since it's not like you have cable, so you're not, like, you know, watching network television or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for me.
It was a busy week for you.
It was.
Not so busy week for me.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this next week because it shouldn't be as busy. So I should be able to like read comics and play games.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to downtime to be able to play games and just relax. And
then next weekend is Spider-Man, and I can't fucking wait.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. It's going to be so good.
Do you have tickets or anything yet?
Eric already bought tickets for us today or tomorrow. He's buying them tomorrow.
Okay, well, because I was going to text him, too, to see like if you guys were all going or not.
We are. I just text him and find out where and when and whatnot.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. Because if you guys are going at like a weird time where we can't make it, then we'll just go like separately.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like 10 in the morning or something.
Probably. I mean, that's not too bad, but it's, you know, it just depends like which day and everything too. Cause you okay. guys, do you guys normally do it Sunday?
I depends on the day. It depends on the weekend.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's, who knows?
But yeah, so if you'd like to, you know, get in contact with us, send us any emails, for instance, you can send those over to social@one-quest.com. You can also just head over to our website at www.one-quest.com or podquest.club or unclebabywalnuts.com. They all go to the same goddamn place. And there's a contact form and shit on there. You can also find us on social media, facebook.com/onequestonline or on Twitter @one_quest. You can find our podcasts like the one you're listening to right now on iTunes, Google Play Music and Stitcher and a bunch of other places. Like a random app, you can search for us and we'll pop up on there. If you could go onto those services and rate us and review us, we would appreciate it. Next week, we might actually have a video version of this show, too.
Yeah. So it's going to be 150 episodes.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll maybe start a monthly episode. We'll be video maybe going forward. Once a month, we'll try and do a video at first. See how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe not every time, but
no. But I mean, it monthly would be good. We'll see what we can do. Maybe if we ever get around to setting up our Patreon, we can we'll have it just to patrons. Maybe we'll just do special stuff for patrons. Who knows?
Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see what the future brings. But we're trying to expand, so please share us with as many people as you can.
Yeah, and we might actually be on some more services soon. I'm going to see if I can submit us to Spotify and to this thing called TuneIn. Sorry, Intune is a Microsoft server. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But until then, we'll be back next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.